God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Greed's not good and God's not dead. I don't care what Nietzsche or Ayn Rand said. The blood of every man is red, and I'm not going to war. They justify all the things they do with convoluted logic and waves still pound upon the sand and will when they're gone. God's not dead, he's merely hiding.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let us take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Hello, and welcome to the apocalypse in bloom, riding into town on the wings of spring and bringing all kinds of information and revelation, desirable to some and undesirable to others. The apocalypse is all about revelation and awakening. Perhaps awakening must precede revelation because we can't see some things until we are awakened. That's been the problem in this world for far too long. Too many unawakened people who make the activities of the psychopaths possible by buying into the lies and propaganda that fuel the engines of their ongoing torment. They pay for the machinery that kills and enslaves them with the energy of their hearts and minds and the work of their bodies. It's a tragic irony, is it not? It's bad enough that the psychopaths have free reign among us, the Henry Kissingers and Rupert Murdochs and their associates, but to have also to serve their interests and work for them against yourself, to be their cannon fodder, the source of their amusement, and even their food is a terrible thing. To surrender your children for their sexual pleasure and as a sacrifice to their dark god. Do you doubt this is the case? It is so. During the course of writing my blogs, I hear from all kinds of people. On several occasions, I've had people tell me that there is no good and no evil, there's only God, and they spin their version of the Advaita philosophy, which I do not agree with in principle, only in practice. What I mean to say is that talk is cheap. It's easy to sit in an ivory tower of indifference and see the world as only the outworking of karma, which I also do not disagree with. It's an easy way out to just say it's all one and there's nothing to be done and that it doesn't make any difference anyway, and I don't disagree with that in principle either. I just consider that sort of thing to be lazy and selfish in the real world. Not that there is a real world, or rather to say there are billions of worlds, a world for every separated mind that exists as an identity apart from the whole, and then there is a one single real world that is surrounded by slightly less real worlds that become ever more unreal until they become dreams and then dark unconsciousness. One might say that the more rarefied and less material worlds that we call heavens have the basic characteristic of expansion, which implies freedom. As you move toward the light, the quality of your environment becomes ever less dense. This is the promised destiny of humanity and what the world of the senses wars against. The arrogance of the separated mind fights to bring the attention down into the realms of matter. As there are heavens above this plane, or perhaps I should say consciousness of heavens existing above the ordinary focus of this plane, because heaven begins where your feet touch the ground, just as there are heavens rising in the hearts of those seeking sanctuary from this mortal plane. There are also denser and denser worlds going in the opposite direction, and these are necessarily more confining the denser you go into the worlds of bondage. It's a matter of personal choice which direction you go in. This is determined by the affections of your heart. In the words of the Christ, where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. This connects to another timeless phrase from the same source. What profiteth a man to gain the whole world and lose his immortal soul? But the magnetic draw of the world is a powerful thing, is it not, my friends? Think about how the world occupies the majority of your thoughts, words, and actions every day. Consider that the attention you give is similar to investing in stocks, banks, or perhaps more appropriately, futures. You take the time given to you in this temporary life and you invest your efforts in the fire of your desires into accomplishing things composed of temporarily frozen and magnetized dust. It's actually frozen sunlight. In a certain sense, hell is to become ever more and more materialized, and heaven is to become less so. The power of our sexual drive is the same power utilized to achieve our liberation. When this force is driven by the heart's ambition toward union with the divine, it will not be denied. When it is fueled by a love of meaningless objects and high positions which come and go without warning, then that's a lesson the soul must need learn. We could spare ourselves a great deal of suffering by not insisting on learning certain things that have already been demonstrated, in the lives of others across history and into the present day. Turn the force of your desire for physical union into a desire for intercourse with the divine and see what it gets you. Unlike the study of Reiki, you can't master it in the course of 3 weekend seminars and a 4-day intensive. It takes longer and it requires more. It's not likely to attract the savvy New Ager. No great amount of personal profit seems to be available there. People are generally not willing to pay large entrance fees to lectures where someone actually tells them the truth. The truth, like Lord Shiva, is not welcome at the wedding parties. It's not the most seemingly beneficial position to go against the thrust and false promises of the world. Earth is a dream world. The great accomplishment here is to break free of the chains of the dream and become able to break the chains of your fellows as a result. Even the example of this accomplishment serves to free others, as it has been seen by the effect of the lives and teachings of those great-souled entities who have come before. Like I was saying, talk is cheap, and it's easy for anyone to say anything, but much more difficult to live it. The only real difficulty is in staying focused, and that is a single repeating act unless it is a sustained condition. You're either focused or you're not, and it's easier for some people than it is for others. For some, it is impossible. Focus is an act of the will. And when you're capable of sustained focus, you are capable of almost anything. Some of us seem all too willing to be taken for gurus and spiritual teachers. We figure we can grow into the job, and we tell ourselves it's just a pose after all. If one can hold that pose, if one can act and stay in character, then one will be taken to be what they present themselves as. For some reason, it does not occur to these people that there actually is a spiritual master who is resident inside of every mind, who assists the worthy and confound the unworthy, who sets the stage for all necessary lessons. The more flowery the language of the deceiver, the more the followers are taken in. They want to be like this teacher, which is why they are styling themselves on a personage outside of themselves, without tumbling to the fact that the thing they really wish to become is inside them at this very moment. All they have to do is get out of the way and let the master become completely in charge. All they have to do, all they have to get, is to understand that everything is under control and always has been, and the more they step aside and surrender, the more the true master comes into being. At no time has any individual personality achieved spiritual mastery. Spiritual mastery was achieved by surrendering the personality so that it might become like a stained glass window through which the light of heaven shines. Let me tell you how important it is that you succeed in subjugating your lower self to the control of the divine. People like to put down H.P. Blavatsky, Helena Petrovna Blavatsky, and recently I see all sorts of attacks against the Order of the Golden Dawn, which was a cult society that existed around the early part of the 20th century. And there are these people who see darkness everywhere, and they weren't even on location for the things they talk about, which they weren't, and they don't know much about the history of the order. And there was a time when it was a bright force, unseen in the lives of most, and there was a time when it was taken over through slow corruptions, which happened to all organizations. Helena Petrovna Blavatsky was not connected to the Golden Dawn. I'm just saying that radical Jacobites of the moment see darkness in every organization when they don't actually know shit from Shinola. It's easy to point the finger and a great deal harder to learn something about your subject before you run your mouth. What I mean to say is that Blavatsky left a telling imprint on the world and pointed to the open door. How many of us can claim as much? Here is something she said over a century ago and which tells me all I need to know about her and which is why I went through all this ring around the rosy just now. Here is what she said. There is a road, steep and thorny, beset with perils of every kind, but yet a road, and it leads to the very heart of the universe. I can tell you how to find those who will show you the secret gateway that opens inwardly only. and closes fast behind the neophyte forever. There is no danger that dauntless courage cannot conquer. There is no trial that spotless purity cannot pass through. There is no difficulty that strong intellect cannot surmount. For those who win onwards, there is a reward past all telling, the power to bless and save humanity. For those who fail, there are other lives in which success may come. Yeah, she smoked a lot, and she got angry with people who tried to push her around. So do I. And she grew up in a time when women were denied even basic rights of choice. You may be sure she had her critics, and more power to her for standing up for the truth and not caring what the ignorant had to say about her. In these times of easy, offhanded, non-researched criticism, it is easy to dismiss the efforts of people who have done more in one single lifetime than others accomplish in 100. I challenge anyone to read a few hundred pages of ISIS Unveiled and then explain it to me. Personally, I don't require the intricacies of the pathway of the mind. I did these things in other lives, and for myself, only the path of the heart now calls me. There is yet another quote from the Bible that will really repay careful thought. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. That doesn't just mean what the world has to offer, but also those complex realities of the mind, which no one would ever fully understand anyway as a result of their own efforts. All wisdom and all of the higher qualities are gifts given from the divine to those deserving. You won't get them on your own, and you can take that to the bank, and you won't understand them unless the inner angel of comprehension reveals their meaning to you. The truth about the higher levels of divine wisdom cannot be known by the ordinary mind. The higher mind has to be open to them, and that is under the command of a certain intelligence who must decide whether or not to open that door. The false world, driven by the false arts of those who have no clue about the meaning of anything, applauds deceit and calls it daring. Pushing the boundaries, it calls it. Forcing us to confront whatever it is they think we're confronting. They create the meaningless art of the moment and demand it be rendered timeless. History will be the judge of that. They mingle at their cocktail parties and extol the virtues of something that is pointless and banal, and they seem to see the paradigm of the human experience and the human spirit in soulless expositions of non-existent talent. The more offensive it is, the more they proclaim it as the true expression of the times. That is true to some degree, given that the times are bankrupt of inspiration, and given that all real inspiration is pushed to the side and marginalized because it exposes those who have the balls to tell it like it is. Or is exposed by, rather, let me say. A lot more people know who William Reich was than have any idea what he was talking about. Even a greater portion of the world has never even heard his name. Here's another hero who never got his due, but he will. In some other life, he most likely walks among us now. Those who sincerely seek the truth find it to be an addiction greater than any danger posed by drugs or the drive of physical passions. Those who sincerely seek the truth would give their lives in a heartbeat to possess it. That's the criteria for true love, and don't think for a moment that it escapes the attention of the silent watcher and witness to all that we are, wherever we are and whenever we are. Just as the knowledge of the darker areas of occult practice are governed by the demons who guard that information and who must be commanded or convinced to reveal it, the secret truths about existence are guarded by angels who must also be commanded or convinced to give it up. God help those who seek information and powers they are not capable of controlling. It can be a fearful thing in either direction. Some of us come naturally to the possession of some of these things by merit, the accumulation of virtue, or as a gift given for mysterious reasons of those in a position to confer them. This applies both to the infernal and heavenly kingdoms. Ideally, one seeks union with the divine, and whatever is permitted and useful for you personally will be given when you're ready for it. Otherwise, you can find yourself going downhill quick or climbing into the air without knowing where the controls are to the vehicle. It's a sort of a... what's this button here for? Yeah, so it is. Any real and lasting and eternal information is not available to the common mind. It has to be given and conferred as a gift by those in possession of it. And it can't be understood, as I said, it just cannot be understood unless that portion of your mind has been opened up. And someone has to do that too. It's all under control and it's all in certain hands. And those who think they're going to just go and grab it out of the air for themselves are quite a bit mistaken. They may actually think they have it, but the real understanding of the thing itself is not there. Things are about to get really interesting out there in the wider world. Time's at hand, my friends, and those who have thought themselves to have been in control for a long time are going to find out they're in control of nothing, including themselves. We've gotten the impression that certain things are going to happen. The alternative news projects all sorts of events. No one has any idea of what's coming, and it's good to keep an open mind and a believing heart. Everything is under the control of the divine, who is going to change this world and the people in it very shortly. Within a very short space of time now, a great deal is going to happen. You are here to witness that, to become able to see or to remain blind until forced to see. This is a truly momentous time, and the possibilities and rewards to be had are great. Make yourself open to the blessings that are coming and which will protect you from the punishments that are arriving alongside them. My friends, we have come to the end of yet another broadcast. I'll be back now in about 45 minutes to do an interview with James, and I hope you'll join us there. I think that's happening around 8 o'clock. And, I guess I'll see you next week if there is one. And in the meantime, I hope you'll find yourself more in tune with the new energy that is coming and more detached from the old that is going. Thank you for listening and visiting with me, and much love to you all. Aloha and aru!
When the sun is rising, God's not dead, merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.